Hey, welcome to the Missio Day podcast. Check us out on the web at missiodaychicago.com.
God, I pray that you would help us come expectant to hear from you this morning. I pray that as your people, God, that you would do a breakthrough in our hearts, God. You would make just the walls that keep us from experiencing your presence to fall, Jesus. So God, I just pray for every man and woman and child in this room that you would, God, just meet us as your just little children. Would you make us free again, free to just experience your love? Would we shake off all expectations that we place on ourselves, Lord, expectations that we have of others that we put on ourselves, Lord? Would you just remove all that doesn't belong? God, would you do a mighty work in our body, Lord? We pray for our church community, this family. Would you, I believe you're stirring the waters, Lord. I believe that there's a stirring in many people's hearts, and we just ask that you would do again what you've done in the past. God, I pray that you would increase our faith this morning. We pray that you would give us freedom to be in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Brian. I'm one of the elders, if I haven't met you. This morning, we're doing a little something different. This week and next week, we're going to have some standalone talks. And then after that, we're going into a series on spiritual warfare called Kingdoms in Conflict. Woohoo! Warfare. Yay! We are getting in preparation time for that and what God would want to do in our hearts. And what we often do three or four times a year is we just take like what we call a prophetic pause, just to pause in between message series to say, like, to ask, like, God, what are you doing here? Like, what is it that you want to do in and through Missio Dei Lincoln Square, which is all of you, by the way. And so this morning, I just confessed to you that, man, as I prayed and tried to, like, put stuff down on paper this week for this message, like, God just really, I don't want to super spiritualize this, but I was just not able to really order my thoughts. I wasn't able to, like, really write thoughts down like I'm usually do, and I think what God was saying in that is, Brian, I just want you to speak from your heart. So this morning, I just want to do something a little different. If you're new, we usually take a chapter or scripture and we go verse by verse and we exposition the passage. That means we pull out like what's truth is there. We're going to do that this morning too. But I do want to say, like, this morning is a little different. And so I'm just going to speak from my heart, which means a couple of disclaimers. One, it's going to be a little scattered maybe at times. So just follow along with me. And whenever you speak from your heart, like in a deep place of your heart, like I think the things this morning are there. And so sometimes those things are just hard to even put words to it anyway, right? So just hang with me if things get a little scattered. So we are, as I read this morning, this God just put this passage on my heart for us. The story of Joshua leading his people through the Jordan into Jericho. So God's leading his people into the promised land. And before that, all throughout Joshua 3, 4, 5, 6, it's just this amazing work of how God's put Joshua in this place of leadership to say, be strong, be courageous, step into by faith the things that I've called you to do. I want you to go and I want you to lead my people into this promised land, but it's not going to always be easy. But when he does this, and if you have your Bible, by the way, Joshua 3 is where we're going to be. There's some Bibles in the middle here. You can pass around that, or you can turn on your Bible on your phone. Joshua 3 is where we are, and it says, let me read this to you. It said, then Joshua said to the people, this is before the passage that Kelly read, consecrate yourselves, in chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And man, I just, that passage, I felt like God said, like, this is for Missio Dei Lincoln Square. And the first thing is I feel like we've been experiencing some of that. I feel like we've been experiencing this sense of we're in this season, in the midst of a season of consecration. This word consecration. This word consecration means to set something apart for a redemptive purpose. It's to be set apart for a purpose to be used by God. All throughout Scripture, there was people and things that were set apart. Like if I were just to grab this mic and God said, hey, use this mic in my temple, and where I am holy, where I am present. The priest would come and do a little da-da-da, anoint this thing with oil, and be like, this mic is now holy. This mic is set apart. Holy doesn't mean that you are perfect or that you never sin. Holy means that you are set apart uniquely for God's purposes. And I'm here to tell you this morning that every single one of you in this room, God has set you apart for his purpose. He has set you apart to do a mighty work in the city. And he's saying, I want to set you apart. The word profane, which is not a four-letter word originally, the word profane originally comes from the Bible, and it means to be outside the temple. That when we profane our lives, when we live outside the calling that God put on our lives, when we let other people's expectations of us drive us rather than the calling that God has put on our heart. And so I feel like in this season as a church, what God is saying is, I want you to, you're consecrating yourself. It's time to set yourself apart. And I think God's been doing that. The way God does that, I think he does it several ways. Let me just use a few words. One is purification, that kind of example, that God purifies, you know, this set of like, I'm setting you apart, you're going to be pure. I think God is purifying us as a community. I think he's pruning us. There's a pruning that happens when God consecrates you. In John 15, he says that all life comes from the vine, and I am the true vine, and you are the branches. And that which does not, that because I want you to bear more fruit, he says, I'm going to prune you. I'm going to cut back things so you can grow. And I think God is doing a pruning here in our body so that we can experience true growth from the Holy Spirit. And the last thing is just preparation. That consecration involves preparation. I think for many of you, God is preparing each and every one of you for something that he wants you to step into. I believe that he's preparing you, and I think the challenge is that we as God's people, we stop dreaming. We stop living into the things that God made us to do. Every single, just broaden it, even not Christian speaking, just as humanity as a species, like you are meant to create things. You are meant to step in by faith. You were meant to take risk, right? Like bees make hives, right? Like all these different things do things. Humans create futures. And you as a human being, and more so as a follower of God, are meant to step into the dreams that God has put you in your heart and not let those dreams die completely. And I believe that that God is in this moment of saying, consecrate yourself. And I love this. He says, consecrate yourself. So prepare yourself, Missio Dei. Prepare your heart. Be purified. Be pruned. Because guess what? He says, tomorrow I'm going to do something amazing. Tomorrow, I'm going to do amazing things in your life. And so for us to be ready to receive, like I think we're in this season of waiting as a community. I'm waiting. God's saying, Missio Dei, like I want to do something amazing through you, but now's the time to be consecrated. And so you can receive what it is that I call you to do, right? I think many of us know what that's like. I think, you know, that's basically, if you think about like, what dating is, like you're putting on your best. God, you know, whenever you're in that dating season, you're like, man, like I just want to be the right person, right? And it's this moment. And then you know what's funny is like sometimes I was talking to a friend, they're like, you know what? I got married and then I kind of assumed that like I already did that. Like I've already developed my character. And God's like, no, that doesn't mean you haven't continued to like be the right kind of person for the other things that God wants you to do or to continue on in your marriage. And God's saying, I want you to continue to develop and being my presence to be consecrated because tomorrow I'm going to do something amazing in your life. Amen? Do you have faith to believe that? Do you have faith to believe that God still wants to do mighty things? And so as I read this, I feel like our church has been in that consecration season. If you haven't noticed, if you've been around with us, I think like we've kind of plateaued and seeing people come to know Jesus and get baptized. There's been a little bit of a plateau and seeing like just new people coming to know Jesus. And that's like why we started this church. If you're here this morning, peeking over the proverbial fence into Christianity, and you're like, what's this whole thing about? I just want you to know, like, we started this church for you. We started this church for you to see people who do not know God to have a safe place to explore the faith, to come and to receive like what God may have for you. And so we've seen a little bit of that. We've seen internally, you probably don't always, you know, see this stuff, but like financially we may have plateaued a little bit. And I would say, like, not that numbers are everything, but I would say numerically, we've, like, hit around this size of, like, 100 people, and we just have kind of plateaued. And so whenever you do that, you kind of ask these questions, like, One is you can ask, well, what are we doing wrong? Which I think there's probably something there that we are doing wrong. But then also you can ask, what are you up to, God? And because I think God wants to slow us down and to consecrate us so he can say, tomorrow I want to do something amazing. Tomorrow I want to do something amazing. In this next season, I want to do mighty things. And so I believe God is stirring something among several people in this community. I believe that he's stirring like an impartation of faith to some of you to step in. And what God, I feel like, has told me, like, whatever it is, this amazing thing that God's going to do, I feel like God said, Brian, like, that's not going to come from you. That's going to come from someone in this room. That next amazing thing that God's going to do is going to come from you. Somebody in this room that God's calling to set apart, to step out in faith, to be a person of a disciple maker, to seek to see the life of God break into broken places, he says, that's not going to come from you, Brian. That's going to come from someone in here. And so I believe God's raising this temperature of faith for all of us to say, God, I think what's easy for us to do is to look at this passage where they cross through this Jordan River and to be like, oh man, I want to be a part of that. I want to see that. And God's like, no, I don't want you to see that. I want you to be that. I don't want you to see that happen. I want you to be what happens. And God's saying for some of you, like, you need to be what happens. You need to be the ones that step out into the water and have the faith that God's going to do amazing things. And so I think there's a couple of things that I sensed as I read this passage that God's doing. The first thing is that our future is in our past. That Missio Dei Lincoln Square's future that there's hidden in there is in our past. And I get that because in this passage, Joshua 3, what they do, it's almost like a repeat miracle, right? Remember Moses, like, God parted the Red Sea, and they walked right through the Red Sea to be delivered from Pharaoh. And even before that, Moses' whole story, you remember he was a baby, and there was an ethnic cleansing decree from Pharaoh put out across the land. And Moses' mom said, I'm going to put you in this basket by faith that somehow you're going to be rescued and redeemed. And then what happens, right? The Pharaoh's daughter finds this basket, and Moses is like liberated and saved from this water. And then what? Intriguing that the one who is saved from the water then does what? He delivers God's people through the water, right? He crosses the Red Sea. And then what happens again? This repeat miracle. Now Joshua comes and he's like, this sounds really familiar. God's like, I want you to move through this Red Sea. Move through this Jordan, I mean. And I think what that says is that like our destiny is in our history. And so for some of you that weren't around at the very beginning, like the history of our church was birthed out of sacrifice. It was birthed out of sacrifice to move and to invest yourself in this city, to see the city come to know Jesus. Sorry. And I think that God's saying, like, man, if you think about like if birth, that analogy of birth there, birth is a miracle, right? And I think we want to see miracles happen in our lives. And, you know, there's training to pray for miracles. There's all these things. But the thing that always precedes miracles is sacrifice. If birth is a miracle, the thing that precedes the miracle of birth is sacrifice. And God's saying your history, your future is in your history. And then this church was started on sacrifice. And it's going to continue on the sacrifice of my people. And the other thing that it's locked in our history is just this... God would always do random things. I mean, like we moved here from Birmingham, and we only knew Joshua and Britt, the only couple we knew here, so we didn't know a soul. The first few months was me like walking aimlessly around this neighborhood, just praying, God, what do you want me to do? I don't even know how am I supposed to start this church? I literally prayed through every single block of Lincoln Square, praying and asking God to do what only He could do. And so I think that again, our future is in the sense that like we're going to be a community of prayer. That anything that's ever happened in our community has only happened by God going like, you think you know something. We never really strategized. We never really came up with a strategy of like, we're going to do this. We're going to make you do this. We're going to take these people and make you do these things. We never really put a strategy out, but we just said, God, we're here by prayer to say like, do what only you could do. And the amazing thing, one of the first things, I know it probably doesn't mean a lot to anybody else, but it meant a lot to me, that I remember walking around and praying, and God said, like, go look over this way. And I was like, okay. And there was like this chamber of commerce that was there, and he says, go in there and just ask him how you can serve. And so I go there, and I knock on their door, and it's like, hey, I'm Brian. I'm a new person in this community. We're here starting a church. I only knew two people. And I said, we're here starting this new community. And I was like, is there anything else our church could do to serve you? They're like, yeah, Christmas season is coming up, and you know, we used to have like a really big Christmas festival here, and it's gone, and you know, we don't really have anything to substitute that. I was like, what if we just like organized a bunch of caroling in the neighborhood? And they're like, well, yeah, if you want to do that, that'd be amazing. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Our church will do that. And I'm like, it's just me and my wife. And then I sent out a couple of emails, and literally the most. The most encouraging thing I think I remember receiving is when we moved here is Becca McCracken. She actually was the first person to say, hey, I heard you're planning a church. I want you to know I'm in. And it was before anything ever happened. She said, I'm in. I'm all in. She didn't even know what it was. She didn't even know me. She says, I'm all in. And then so I emailed her and said, hey, Becca, like we're supposed to go caroling in the neighborhood. And like, what are you? And she's like, oh my gosh, you won't believe this. Me and my friends have been like caroling for years here. She's like, okay, great. Well, can we just get a bunch of people together caroling? And we showed up, and there was like over 100 people that showed up just to sing songs of Jesus in our neighborhood. And we met a lot of neighbors, and people would go like, oh, you're the church that went caroling around the neighborhood. And I just always imagine like someone on the third floor of their apartment just having the worst day, and they hear like, joy to the Lord, your Savior's come. And just like getting on their knees and be like, man, God is real. And so I just believe that like these little things that our destiny is locked into our history, that we're to be a people of prayer. We'll be a people of sacrifice. And the other thing that I think is in here is that in this story, God is raising up. It's amazing. Like he says, when you cross the Jordan, when you cross the river, he goes, I want you to actually have the priest come out, and I want them to just dip their toe in the water, and then I'll part the land. And you can imagine at that point, they would probably say something like this. They would say, well, God, we've already seen how you do this. You parted the water. With Moses, you just parted the water. And God's like, no, I'm a creative God. I don't do things the same way twice. I'm going to actually do something different. This time, I want you to actually put your toe in the water. And so he's like, and what he's saying is like, you don't need to live off the faith of yesterday. You need to live off the faith of today. The faith is for today. You don't live off the faith of the past. And so he's saying, I need this fresh amount of faith to rise up in this community. And so I think God is saying, like, I'm stirring some priests in this community to say, I'm going to be the one to put my toe in the water. I'm going to be the one that's going to take the faith step of risk and obedience. And it's just all throughout this passage, it's just filled with foolish obedience. And that's really what's made this community has been that. It's just been foolish obedience. I mean, you look at the next passage and that Kelly read so beautifully. This God says, hey, this is a great passage. It's, you know, it's supernatural. It's crazy and weird. You know, God says, I want you to march around the city. And I want you to march around. And instead of sending out your army, I want you to put the shepherds out front. And I want them to blow trumpets. And I want you to march around at once. And can you imagine Joshua? I mean, this had to be the most embarrassing moment of his life. Like, you're serious, God? Like, this is a mighty military city that we're marching around, and you want us to just march around and blow trumpets? Like, this is nuts. This is so embarrassing. It had to be so humiliating. And they did it around one time, and God said, now I want you to do it again. And they're like, what? He's like, yeah, do it again. Are you crazy? Like, march around again. So he's like, yeah. So they march it around, and then they march around a second time, and God says, do it again. And they march it around the third time, and what does God say? Do it again. And march around the fourth, fifth, and the sixth time, and he says, do it again, do it again, do it again. And then finally, they get to the seventh time, and they march. And then all the walls of that city begin to fall. And they blow these trumpets. He's saying, you know what? This battle is not fought by natural means. This battle is fought by a supernatural means of worship, a supernatural means of prayer and gathering as God's people. And worshiping him, being in his presence. Guys, when we worship together on Sundays, we're not just singing some songs. We're literally asking God to push back the darkness in our city. We're asking God to move mountains, to let us step into his presence, that God would do a work that none of us could explain. That's our prayer. When we started this church, we're like, God, let's get out of the South where the Bible Belt is, because we want to see you do things that we can never explain. And that's what we want to see happen in this church. Is do the unexplainable. And what these people are doing as they're marching around, it had to be so embarrassing. But it's just foolish obedience. It's just a sense of foolish obedience that they would do this. I mean, you would think that, oh, that's a waste of, and I pray that that's what God does for us. I pray that God gives us visions of And you know, I don't even know what it is yet. Some of you are like, well, where are we headed? What are you doing? And I'm like I said, we are just sitting before God's face saying, God, we are waiting for you to speak. We're consecrating ourselves for you to do something massive. And we don't care if it looks foolish. We don't care like if it makes no sense from a business standpoint. We don't want to strategize. We just want to do whatever you say do. And so we follow him. Now, can you imagine as this they're marching around this city? Like some had to, doubted greatly. And there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is to march around the city and be like, this is crazy, this is stupid. Why are we marching around the city blowing trumpets? But I'm doing it. That's doubt. Unbelief, it goes, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not saying that we're never going to have doubts as you step into what God's calling you to do. I'm not saying that God, you're going to have doubts as you're going around. Like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? This is ridiculous. This is a waste of time. This is a waste of my energy. God can't be blessing this, surely. I don't see any fruit. I don't see anything happening. And God says, no, it's foolish, and you're going to have doubts. But the thing is I am with you. I am with you along the way as a people. I'm with you as you march and as the walls come down. Now, they raised a shout and they marched around, and we're going to worship in a little bit, and we're not going to march around this building or anything. Some of you may shout, I don't know, but we're just praying that God would do those things again. And I think what God's saying, as I prayed for you guys, I feel like just three things that just God put on my heart. They're like, here's the walls that need to come down. Like he says, as I prayed, and again, I don't want to over-spiritualize this. I know that every single one of these things I'm going to mention could be explained away rationally. I could explain away every single one of these things rational, but like, yep, that's exactly why these things happen. But there's three things I feel like just, man, God's saying, like, these are the walls that have to come down. The first one is just anxiety. Anxiety. That there's just some of you, you experience different levels of anxiety, and some will say, well, rationally, I can explain away my anxiety, but I sense something else that's happening that's just deeper than the normal rational anxiety. And again, I don't want to sound over super spiritual, but at the same time, I'm tired of under spiritualizing things at the same time. And I think that there's a sense where, like, not just all of us experience anxiety, but I think there's this, like, sense where some people are experiencing, they're like, I can't explain it. Some of you are experiencing anxiety where it's like, I don't know where it's coming from, but I just feel this overwhelming sense of anxiety. I just feel crippled by anxiety. It's an overwhelming sense. I'm having panic attacks. I'm having, some of you are having this overwhelming way of anxiety that's just, you acknowledge that somehow you're caught up in a battle and you recognize that there's something spiritual going on with that anxiety. And I think that's one of the walls that God's like, I want that wall to come down. I want that wall to come down. I want to no longer be robbed by anxiety. And so anxiety, of course, happens to all of us. I mean, we live in a very stressful city. Living here is just stressful, right? Living here results in a little bit of anxiety, but I'm talking about something else. It's just like this supernatural, weird spiritual sense of like this anxiety is deeper and something. You can't necessarily even explain why you're anxious. And I think that that's just like God's like, the enemy's going to come and rob you. He's going to clothe you with anxiety to rob you of your destiny. And I think that's a wall that I feel like in this church that just needs to come down. That God's saying for many of you, like, you need to trust in the Lord. You need to let this fear be silenced by the truth. That we are not given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of truth and power from God. Amen? Amen. And the second thing is just this sense of apathy. Now, the word apathy. Now, I say this because it's weird to me, because I think we are a very talented church. We are a very gifted church, and I see many of you, like, this weird sense of apathy is this spiritual apathy, because I see many of you, and you're very driven. You're very ambitious for your career. You are not apathetic in your career, but because it's so ambitious in your career that, like, when it comes to the ambition of the kingdom of God, that it's, like, kind of gets drowned out by that. And so it's not in the sense of apathy, like you're just like, oh, I don't have any, I'm just like lazy, I'm depressed, I'm sitting doing nothing. No, I think like the drive is there, but it's misplaced. And hear me out here. Like I love talking about work. I love talking about vocation. I love seeing you guys get after it with what you do. When I follow you on Instagram and all those things, like I love it. And I love seeing, like, I'm always like, let's see the workplace, like join God at work where he is. I think it's great. Beautiful. But I think there's a sense where, like, there's a sense of when it comes to the kingdom of God and the visions and the imagination for the kingdom, that it just gets blurred out. We're just so distracted. And I think that, like, there's a sense of apathy that creeps in because it's just kind of the spirit where it's like, oh, I just can't be asked to do anything today. Like, I can't, someone asks you to, like, serve a church or do this, it's like, there's just a sense of, like, oh, I just can't be asked. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm apathetic. Nah, I just feel indifferent. And there's an apathy that creeps into our hearts. And I'm saying this because I'm saying things that I'm speaking to myself here as I'm praying about these things. This is not an indictment towards you. This is like something I think that we just, the cultural forces around us are at work. That the powers that are around us are at work. And we as God's people have to wake up to be aware of this stuff, right? And then the last one was just this word comparison. I think many of us are just being robbed of joy by comparison. Just robbed of joy of comparing ourselves, whether it's on social media or these things, and comparing ourselves to, like, man, my friend, like, we graduated college at the same time, and he's making double as I am, and, you know, wow, look at, she got that guy, oh, gosh. Anyway, like, you're just, like, thinking of these things, and you're just comparing yourself to each person in your midst, and you're looking back through your feeds, and you're seeing people that you grew up with, and you're like, man, their life looks amazing, and you're just such in despair because this comparison has just robbed your joy. I think that's the wall that needs to come down. And so we just want to pray the rest of the service that the walls would come down. That the walls would come down. That we would be a community that steps in by faith and says, God, we want these walls to come down. And so we just want to step in the rest of the service and say, God, do the mighty works in our lives again. God, would you stir our faith to put our toe in the water? Say, I'm going to have faith to step into to being consecrated, to call it out for a unique purpose. And I don't want to, like, over-spiritualize or over-emotionalize things, but I just think that God wants to do something in some of you. And I just think, like, months from now, we're going to look back and we're going to set a memorial here from this day and be like, remember when Brian gave that talk? And someone's going to step out in faith and lead us out in the next thing of this season for Missio Dei Lincoln Square. And we're going to be like, man, look what God did. And this will be a memorial for us. And that's what these people did. When they crossed the river, the priest came back and they set up stones. Set up stones and said, remember how God moved. And some of your role in this church is just that. It's to help us remember how God has moved in the past. It's so we do not grow cynical as a people, but you remember, help us remember. This is what God has done. This is what he's doing, and this is what he's going to do again. Jesus has come. He is coming back, and he is resurrected. You're reminding us, this is true. What Jesus says is true. And that's your role in this community. It's to be the encourager, to be the Joshua types, to be the priestly types that says, I'm going to step out in faith. Some of you, God's calling you to step out in faith. Others of you, he's calling you, man, just to, what I love, I was meeting with Joe the other day, and he was talking about how the priest would just stand there in the middle and just, like, have people go through this river. Just be like cheering them on, like, you can do this, you got this, you have this. Remember what God has done in the past. Remember, remember, remember. Some of you, that's your role. And God, I just pray that you step into what God's calling you to do in this season. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And band would come on up. God, I pray that you would just stir our faith, God. Would you, God, grant us the faith to believe again, the faith to dream, the faith to use our imaginations for what you want to do in our hearts. Would you, God, just... would you meet us here this morning? Every single one of us, would you meet us? And I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for wherever you are. I don't know if maybe one of those walls was one of your walls. One of those things I mentioned was something that God is doing in you. And you feel like the Spirit just struck a chord with your spirit. That somehow, one of those things that I mentioned, you were just, it was just so clear. That's the wall in your heart that needs to come down. And I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that for those that are just anxiety has cloaked over you, it's clothed you, it's crippled you. I want to pray that God would just give you a freedom, just a freedom to run to your Father. A freedom to know that you are secure. God is with you. He's for you. He's not against you. Some of that has been just attack from just the way you were raised, just constantly just, you know, oversensitive to the unknowns. And, you know, some of it's just, though, it's like you didn't receive that at all, but it's just coming from a spirit of control right now in this season. And you're just trying to control and hold things together. And God says, you can be my child. You can run to me. You can receive me. You can receive love and faith and hope and joy. And cast off all fear. So God, we announce right now in this room, as your people, fear must fall. It must fall from us. Anxiety must fall from us. We ask that you would make it flee. We ask in the name of Jesus that all anxiety that is crippling us would be cast off as far as the east is from the west. Would you give us a sense of your presence, Lord, to walk through the waters? Secondly, I want to pray for those who just, as much as it stung and stings to admit, like apathy for the kingdom of God is where you're at. And I ask that the disappointments in your life would be met with hope. That you used to want to do something for God, that you used to want to be used by him, and then you just kind of gave up and thought, like, why would God ever want to use me? And God's here saying this morning, like, you're right. I don't want to just use you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you, and because you're with me in my presence, I want you'll do the things that I do. It doesn't have to be this utilitarian relationship, I'm not your employer. I'm not your boss. God wants to say to your heart, like, I'm your daddy. Pray that right now, Lord Jesus, that apathy must fall. Apathy must fall off our hearts. And then lastly, just comparison. Would you, for those that are just struggling to compare themselves with others, may they just know the approval and love of Jesus. May they know, man, that you've got them right where they are, that we need you to be you, not someone else. We need you to be who God's called you to be, not anyone else. That God didn't call that person to your circumstance. He's called you right where you are. And may you spread joy to everybody you come in contact with, because you know who has you. God, we announce in this room, Jesus, would you make comparison fall? Make the walls come down in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.